This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. And I want to let you know the first part of the show is brought to you by Gold and Coin Connection, 2568 South Church Street, and that's beside the Gateway Tire Center in the mall. And Pastor Larry Dunn of ERO Ministry partners Chris Chico and Wayne Eberly. What they do is you can go in and you can have some of your collectibles. They can go in and evaluate those for you, and that will be a fair and honest evaluation. And they also buy scrap gold, jewelry, platinum, coins, and silverware. And they have vintage sports collectibles and even some great antiques. And I was going to say you could probably lay away for Christmas, but I believe it's too late. You might as well take it home and wrap it right now. And I know that it would be a great place for you to go and shop. And I have one of my favorite people here today, Miss Charlene Norris. And we're kind of kin a little bit.
Somewhere along the line.
Yeah, along the line. And we lost one of our sweet, sweet dear ladies just recently.
Yes, we did. My daddy's
Judy
baby
Kathy.
Sister.
Yes. And 98 years old.
98 years old. And there's one left in that family. And I think Uncle Pete is either 93 and will be 94 in January or 92 and 93 in January. But he's into his 90s and he's the last one.
And she was married to Carmack Caffey.
Yep, and had eight children.
And Carmack was one of 11 children.
Oh, my goodness, I didn't realize that.
Yes, and they were raised in the Cripple Creek area. And my granddaddy, James Hall Caffey, was born during the Civil War, Charlene. That is unbelievable. You start thinking about
that far back,
history, yeah.
And what they've seen.
Of course, in the Civil War, you're talking about the 1860s. That's not too far away from when this country was developed. So it was still in its growing stages right then.
That's right.
And my grandma, Miss Minnie Mears, she was a Mears, she was the one that took care of all of the pregnant ladies and the midwife, I think they called it back then.
Yeah.
And it was such a different time. But can you imagine, I know things are kind of tough now, but can you imagine raising 11 kids in the country? And that goes all the way back way before the World War II and even when we're having all the economic problems in the 30s.
Yeah.
But they came from a tough stock back then.
My mother was one of nine. And she was the last one to pass away last December. And we still laugh at things that she told us and things that they did when all nine of them were at home. And it was just amazing that they all survived. It was just, you know, we would say, well, Mother, did you all have this or did you have this? And she would say, well, no, and we didn't know any difference.
And they all had special duties to take care
of. Yes.
Because every one of them were responsible for something by the time they were able to walk.
Yes, yes, yes. And in Mother's family, each one of them was responsible for the next one that came along. And they didn't live close enough to anybody to have friends over. Mm-hmm. Family came when my grandmother was born. My mother's mother was born. Mm-hmm. Her sister came, my great-grandmother's sister came to stay with her and help her out with mm-hmm. this baby. And she brought with her her daughters, two or three little girls. I don't remember now exactly how many, but when they got there, they wanted to know what the baby's name was. And my great-grandmother said, well, we haven't named her yet, but you can name her before you leave. And by the time the sister and her two or three girls loaded up to go home, my grandmother's name was Carolyn Luella Fredonia, Tennessee Nancy Love Davis.
Goodness gracious.
They just put Carolyn on this birth certificate.
I was going to say, they had to have a special nickname for her.
They called her Carrie.
Carrie.
Mm-hmm. They called her Carrie, and my sister's named for her.
Oh, that, I love that name, Carrie.
Oh, I do, too. Carolyn is named for both grandmothers.
Now, how did they celebrate Christmas back in those times?
Funny that you should ask that, because Carolyn and I were talking about that this morning. Mother would tell us that they would all have to stay in bed until Papa got up and made the fire and got the living room warm. Of course, the living room was the family gathering place. It was part of a bedroom. It was just, the house was only like five rooms that they lived in. And she said when Papa would get up and get the fire going, he would finally yell, "Everybody come in here, Sandy Claus has come." And of course, that what they had was stockings with fruit and candy and maybe a toy, but they didn't have the money for anything else.
But, you know, we weren't spoiled yet at that time.
No, we weren't.
Every one of us, we were lucky to get one toy, and of course, we did get the fruit. But it was such a fascinating time for us. We were just so excited because it was Christmas.
Yes, and to me, Christmas is big red apples and an orange. Mm-hmm. Because we always got a big red apple and an orange in our stocking. Those little hard candies. Mm-hmm. And Daddy always brought us one of those big round peppermint sticks that you had to break with a hammer and you ate on it for half a year after Christmas. But
and the stockings were knitted by the mom, usually, and set up. And that was something that after it was over with, she'd put away. And then, of course, they'd reuse that from Christmas to Christmas. But it was just something that I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Christmas Story, where little Ralphie and his brother, they tack the tree as soon as everybody gets up. But that kind of reminded me of what we went through, except we just didn't have that enormous amount of toys. But I do remember my very first Red Ryder BB gun.
I bought
that with money that I had earned working on the farm. And I think I was 6 years old bought my own BB gun, a Red Ryder. And I thought that I was the stuff out there. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't know much about Red Ryder because we didn't have TV, and rarely at that time would we get to go to the movies at that young. So it was a special time. But the biggest thing I remember is that everybody would get together from my grandmother on down, and all the aunts and uncles and all the cousins would meet underneath their roof. And one particular Christmas I remember, my Uncle Ben decided he'd put a little bit more pep into what we were doing. So he got up on top of Papa Jones's roof and started, you could hear him ho-ho-hoing and banging on the roof. And Papa Jones was not a happy camper at that time. He did not want anybody on his roof. But we all had eggnog, and you could not have eggnog unless you had a little spice in it.
That's the nog part.
That's the nog part. And I never will forget my uncles would bring something to make it special in the trunk, because my grandmother did not allow that in the house.
That's right. Like, she didn't know why they were going out to the trunk of the car.
Yeah. Well, it was Christmas Eve.
That's right.
And it was just something special because everybody added something to the revelry of what was going on at that time. And Mama Jones, at the latter part of her life, she would always give each one of us a dollar. And, of course, we were just tickled to death to get our dollar. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't matter whether it was 10 cents or 500,000. It was coming
from
Mama Jones.
Right. That's exactly right. And those are the things that make Christmas Christmas now.
Yeah.
We went to Mother's parents on Christmas Eve, and all eight of the others, siblings and their families, would be there. And we did fireworks.
Hmm.
And everybody stood out on the porch. The porch ran the entire length of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And we all stood out on the porch, and my uncles would go out in the yard and shoot fireworks.
Hmm.
And my grandmother's twin brothers would be there with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful black family that lived down the road from Bun Papa. And the dad worked with Papa and worked for Papa. And Maddie always was always there. No matter what, Maddie was always there. And every one of us, all the cousins, were her babies.
Yeah.
My angels, my angel baby. She called my sister my angel baby. She just called me her baby. I never did question that.
A little bit of favoritism there.
Well, there's always been favoritism there. Carolyn has always told me I was found on the riverbank, or I was found under a rock, or whatever. And it was always Carolyn. And, well, that's because they found you on the riverbank, or they found you under a rock. And I said to her the day after Christmas when we went to visit Mother last year, Mother had dementia, and she didn't know who I was, but she knew who Carolyn was. Later on, I told her, I said, if you ever say to me, yeah, I was Mother's favorite, she remembered my name and she didn't remember yours. I said, you are in serious trouble.
Bless your heart. I'm already starting to feel sorry
for
you.
I know. It won't last long, though. It's one of those fleeting moments.
You know, you talk about all these great times, and every one of us have and still experience some of that to the point. But you are kind of like Mr. Chips in the movie Mr. Chips.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Because your kids have always been very special to you, and everybody that I've talked to in the education business, they always point back to you and how you've always been able to relate to the kids, no matter where they came from, no matter how mischievous or upsetting they can be sometimes, you've always been able to manage that. Now, how in the world is it because of your heritage and your background and some
sense
of the things?
Sense of humor.
Yeah, you do have a great sense of humor.
Sense of humor. My biggest thing in education is if you can't laugh and have fun with learning, you're going to leave some kids out. And that was just, I don't know, my sister and I both have been blessed with, I guess some people consider them warped senses of humor. But
my favorite kind.
Yeah, mine too. But that's the reason I loved sixth grade so much. You could be sarcastic with them, and they'd throw it right back at you and know exactly what you were talking about and what you meant by it. And that's just, when I was at Northville, we had a good time. We had a good time
you
from the announcements in the morning until we got out of school in the afternoon. You have to smile and be happy and make that a good place for kids to be and have them want to get up the next morning and come back. And I guess I'm still just a child at heart, a kid at heart, maybe.
School doesn't have to be drudgery.
No,
it really
does not.
Doesn't. And
no,
if you've got
not.
A kid that hates going to school, that kid's going to be hard to teach.
That's
he really
right.
is.
It's going to make your job a whole lot harder, too.
Yeah.
The thing always tickled me when, and I did the same thing when I was in the classroom, well, you're not going to get recess this afternoon because you haven't been doing so-and-so and so-and-so. And those kids you kept in that classroom from recess or made them sit out recess are the ones that need to get out and rip and run off some of that energy and let them relax and come back in, sit down, and get ready to go. But it was after I retired when I realized all that.
Well, I know there's something to be said about some of the discipline because I know Ms. David Yeary in the fifth grade at Kittrell, I was really too hard to handle back then. There was about three or four of us in that class that we liked to do things that we weren't supposed to. And she would spank us as hard as anybody could be spanked. But what I remember, and you were talking about that a minute ago, if we did it early in got caught earlier in the class day, we had to wait all the way to the last bell, 3 o'clock, before we got our spanking.
Woo.
Now, you're talking about something that just keep you on edge all the time.
Got that
right.
'Cause
you knew it was coming. So, you know, sometimes just the opposite of that works. It would for somebody like me.
I had a friend whose daughter, along with several other little girls, were sent to the office because someone had made up a song that wasn't quite what it needed to be. And they were sitting there and wide-eyed and wondering what was going to happen. And I just picked up the phone and started calling parents and let them sing the song over the telephone. Several years ago, I saw one of those little girls, and she said to me, that is the worst time I think I have ever been through in my life, waiting my turn to call my mother and sing that song. She said, my mother cried on the phone. She was so disappointed. And she said, you can bet your bottom dollar I didn't do anything like that but again. But, it's the waiting for the punishment that you know is going to happen, and you just don't know when it's going to happen. But, you know, we had our discipline problems at Bellwood, and we had our discipline problems at Northfield, but we didn't have a lot. Because when I was at Bellwood, we had parents like you and Jackie who supported what we were doing and what we were trying to do. And when I was at Northfield, we had the same thing. We just had the same thing, and we just had good, kind, loving teachers who took care of kids and saw that their needs were met, and we had happy kids.
To have a child grow and grow the way they're supposed to be, you have to have a combination of discipline, you have to have love, and then the part about actually learning the curriculum and things like that. Mm-hmm. That comes along with it, but I think the first two are probably a little bit stronger.
I remember one day we had some kids all from one family. There was a large number of them. Grandmama, that was one of those good old grandmamas that was in there helping take care, because Mom and Daddy were nowhere to be found. And one of the younger ones was just having a terrible day. It was early in the morning, and by 9 o'clock he was in the office. Just puffed up, just mad, angry, just would not look me in the eye. And, you know, I just said, "You just sit there and calm down a little bit, and then we'll talk about it." When we got to the bottom of it, it was the child's 10th birthday, and he had never heard anything from his mama.
Oh, my.
And he was a big kid. He came over and sat down in my lap and put his head on my shoulder and cried like he was 3 years old. I will never forget that. And I don't know, he still came to the office for discipline, but it was just never the same after that, knowing what that child was going through. And you can do discipline with dignity. Mm-hmm. You can discipline children and not take away their self-esteem or make them feel low or whatever. I think you can reason with children, and then, you know, if you come back in here for the next offense, the hammer may drop just a little bit harder. It's not the velvet hammer anymore.
Right.
But we just really didn't have a lot of those problems, because I think that was one of the things that everybody understood. Kids have egos that can be damaged and can be feelings that can be stepped on. And you know, you don't stand there and scream and yell. You talk to a kid, you administer the discipline, then you move on.
A lot of that sometimes, don't you think, is they just want attention when they're doing that.
And they want it, good attention or bad attention, they don't care. They just want to be noticed.
And the way that you were handling it, it had more of a positive influence than if somebody just got down right in their face and demanded something. But kids, no matter what age, or people, no matter what age, they all want to be loved, and they want to be respected, and to get that, sometimes I don't think that some of the kids have been raised in the conditions that they ever get to that point of having love in their life.
I had one little boy who came to me one morning. He came to school crying, and he couldn't stop crying, and the teacher just told him to come down and sit in the office. So I brought him back in the office with me, and what we were finding out was he didn't have his homework. So he got in trouble as soon as he walked in the door because he didn't have his homework. He didn't have his homework when we got to the bottom of it because he and his brother and his grandmother had spent the night locked in the bathroom, in the bathtub, sitting in the bathtub. It was grandmother's Social Security check day, and the young people in the neighborhood were beating on the doors and trying to knock down the door and get through the house to get that check away from her. And that's what they had done the whole night before.
Oh my goodness. They slept
in that bathtub until daylight the next morning.
We don't even realize
there
are conditions that go on.
That's exactly right.
And you know which kids belong in which area as far as how much love they're getting at home and all those things. How do you, just before Christmas is always a hard time for kids like that. Did you ever do anything to kind of make them feel better or more loved? Because I know that the way that you like to do things.
We did an angel tree. I don't know that there was ever a child at Northfield, especially, that ever went without something for Christmas because of the angel tree. And we had, the people at Pillsbury were unbelievable with helping us with things like that. And we had other companies, but Pillsbury just comes to mind because sometimes we would go pick up presents and things, and there'd be 25 and 30 bicycles waiting to be brought.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, those people out there are unbelievable. They're wonderful. But we always saw to it, and we did it at Bellwood to some extent, but not as much as over at Northfield, because in Bellwood I was confined with my one classroom. Mm-hmm. And
was that Tom Hartley was there at that time?
That was Tom Hartley and Irene Baldwin both.
Oh, okay.
And the parents in the community just saw to it that things were taken care of. That's back when everybody took care of everybody else's kids. Mm-hmm. It was just one of those things, like you went in somebody's house, you didn't behave, they're going to correct you, and nothing was said about it. You were expected to behave and do what they told you to do. Mm-hmm. But the guidance counselors in the school system see to it that kids are taken care of now. They just don't go unnoticed at that time of year.
Now, you have been away from school as far as high school for a pretty good while now. And next year, the biggie is coming up.
The biggie is coming. I graduated in May 25th, I believe, or 27th of 1962.
You remember the date?
Oh, Lord.
You were ready to get out that bad?
I remember the high heels I wore.
You wore high heels?
Oh, yes.
You have got to be kidding.
No. The girls wore white gowns and white caps, and the guys wore blue gowns and blue caps. And most of us wore white high heels with our graduation robe. Hmm. Not the guys. They didn't wear the white high heels, of course. No, they looked kind of strange in there doing that.
Yeah.
But, well, that magnificent group is going to be getting together June 1st, 2nd, 3rd of 2012 to celebrate our 50th class reunion.
So you must be already just about in the planning stage.
Oh, we're already.
Because I know Jeff Jordan was on the show last week.
Yeah, we've already sent out the first mailing.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Marcia Fulgham was responsible for getting a reminder to keep everybody focused on the date. And she worked with some company and got the greatest refrigerator magnet that has a big gold tiger head on it and has the dates under it.
That's something special. The tiger.
Yeah, the tiger.
I guess you guys went to Tiger Den also.
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, yes. That place probably should have been condemned 20 years before it ever was. But, yeah, go to Tiger Den, turn the lights out, and dance.
Did you see any football players in there?
No.
No.
Not that I will mention.
We were not allowed to be in there.
No. As we were talking about earlier, you didn't see football players walking down the hall with girlfriends, and you certainly didn't see girlfriends wearing letter sweaters. When football season was over, they still knew what was expected of them from Lee Pate, and they adhered to that. I think they had enough respect. You all had enough respect for him to do it.
I think the first big dance that I went to, and I probably was more intimidated by him than most people were, but I had a lot of respect for Mr. Pate. I mean, a great deal of it was the night of graduation when we all went to the big dance and everybody
prom.
Was together. And I can still remember it. It's funny how big of an impression school makes on you, but I can still remember the people as we stood around. Everybody held hands in a circle and sang "Auld Lang Syne" on our very last night.
Yes,
you're talking about something that's
and
touching.
School spirit.
Oh yeah.
Oh gosh, remember our pep rallies?
Oh yeah. Well, I didn't get to go to the pep rally.
No, you didn't. Y'all went and stayed in Miss Young's room because she favored the football team and the basketball team, and that was just a given.
Well, the good thing about Miss Young is being somebody that did not like a classroom. That was one of the few courses that I would take that I would get an A on.
Oh, yeah. Ever wonder why?
I remember Jimmy Thompson and I sat next to each other in American history class. And more times than not, we would fall asleep in the class.
Oh, I'm quite sure you did, yes. Yeah.
And she made sure that when we had intramural basketball games against other classes.
Oh, yes.
She made sure that we all played.
That's right.
For her in that one.
That's right.
Isn't it funny how you remember things? But Miss Sarah Murray was one of the sweetest people that I have ever known in my life. And she would send me write letters to me all the time that I was working over at the sheriff's office and just tell me how proud she was of me. Now, can you imagine just having that kind mm-hmm. of love for all of her students? Mm-hmm. She's like you. I'll guarantee you, if you go to a graduation of some kind and you stand at the door, generations of students will go by and you'll know every one of them.
Well, that's possible. That's entirely possible. But she was a dear. She was the one that always tickled me so much was Sarah Reeves.
Oh, yes.
Miss Sarah Reeves,
yes.
Junior English.
Mm-hmm.
I remember for Christmas, your homeroom would always go together and buy you something for Christmas. When we bought Miss Reeves a petticoat, a slip, and she put it on over her dress and modeled it for us the day we got out for Christmas break. Now, it was hysterical. It was hysterical. We were all just rolling, and she was just as straight-faced and serious about it as she could be. Of course, she could pull that off and not laugh, but I will never forget her doing that. I always loved that little lady.
Every one of them had a big influence on me.
Oh.
But during the time, you make some of your best friends that you'll have in your whole life is in high school.
That's right.
And some in grammar school, too. It just carries on. Are some of the people still your big buddies and you still kick around to this day?
Yes. The 10th of December, what we call the Hens of 62. There's a group of the women who decided at the 40th reunion that we did not want to wait until reunions to get together, especially being in the
good
same town. And we meet once a month and eat. And on the 10th, we went up to Beech Grove, Tennessee, to the Red Rooster, owned by one of our classmates, Joanne Ellis Hollingsworth, and her husband, Bill. And we had Christmas up there. And we have so much fun.
That's in Beech Grove?
Yeah.
Is that close to the interstate?
Yeah. Right off the interstate. Exit 97.
Mm-hmm.
Turn right there by the, I think it's a BP station, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. And then right as you start up that little rise, Jake Branch Road is on the left. And they live at 182 Jake Branch Road and have the most gorgeous view of the countryside you have ever seen. And so she and Bill operate a bed and breakfast up there called the Red Rooster. Beautiful.
Now, how many of you guys or gals get together on there?
Well, when I send out a notice for our meeting, I send out almost 40. When I put it on email, there are almost 40 people who are on the list. Now, at times, we'll have a bunch that will drift in and out and drift in and out from out of town, but most of us are just Murfreesboro people.
We're going to take a quick break, Charlene.
Let's do that.
All righty. And let everybody know that this portion of the show is brought to you by At Home Care. And they're at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And they will come into your home and take care of all your duties when you no longer can do that. And they will run errands for you, make sure that everything is taken care of, and that's 24/7. And if you think you need their service, call them at 713-4639 or on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com.
Self-storage has never been so convenient, thanks to Zippy Shell, providing self-storage and moving solutions right to your front door. We deliver, you pack it, we pick it up and store it. Our units are secure, convenient, and best of all, they're just as affordable as traditional ones. Zippy Shell. Call us today for a free estimate.
Call locally owned Zippy Shell today. 216-7879. That's 216-7879. Did you get storm damage from the hail storm? If you're not familiar with the process, making an insurance claim due to the recent hail storm might seem confusing. Matthew H. from North Murfreesboro said, quote, Millennium Roofing has a certified insurance adjuster on staff. They insisted on being present when our adjuster examined our home. Now that's what I call service, end quote. Millennium Roofing is a local family-owned company and has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Millennium Roofing and Construction, 525-6725 or millenniumroofingtn.com.
Play it again, sports! 25 to 50% off. A new shipment of scratch and dent fitness equipment is in at Played Again Sports on North Thompson Lane. Exercise bikes, ellipticals, treadmills, and more. 25 to 50% off. Save now before the deals are gone.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, AmeriCare Pest Control, and the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS.
I've got pests.
AmeriCare is Rutherford County's number one choice in pest control, and it's simple to see why. After calling 893-7111, their staff came to my house 8 years ago when I had an insect problem. They looked at the situation, showed me the areas, and what they'd recommend to resolve the problem. After treatment and with quarterly checks, I'm bug, critter, and creepy crawly free. Thanks, AmeriCare.
Call the best of the best to get rid of your pest.
AmeriCare, 893-7111.
WGNS Good Neighbor Events. There are some special Christmas Eve services. At noon Saturday, a traveler service at First Presbyterian Church, the corner of College and Spring Streets. They also have a family candlelight service at 5 o'clock and a more formal communion service on Christmas Eve, Saturday night at 7. First Presbyterian's Christmas service is Sunday morning at 11. They're located downtown on College at Spring Streets. And St. Mark's United Methodist Church is having a Christmas Eve family worship service at 5 o'clock and a traditional Christmas Eve service at 8 o'clock. That's Saturday night. They also have a Christmas morning service Sunday at 10. St. Mark's is at 1267 North Rutherford Boulevard. And starting December the 26th, the 149th commemoration of the Battle at Stones River. Special reenactments, talks, and other programs at the Stones River National Battlefield. That's December 26th through January the 2nd. There is no admission charged. Remember to get those Good Neighbor events to us at least 2 weeks before they occur. And check our website, WGNSradio.com, for more events.
Smoked wings, barbecue, the redneck nachos, you know what I'm talking about. It's Kirk and Burt Smokehouse Grill on Kaysen Lane. Stop on in. Each day they've got great specials for you. Kirk and Burt Smokehouse Grill on Kaysen Lane here in Murfreesboro.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
With today's guest, Charlene Norris.
And this portion of the show with Charlene is brought to you by Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. And they have something for everyone on their menu, from steaks, fresh seafood, pasta, salads, appetizers, and special items unique to Blue. They have 6 items for lunch at just $6. And enjoy their live Sunday brunch beginning at 10 a.m. with music from Larry Pinkerton and Avant Lane. Whether it's enjoying the courtyard at dinner, the game on the big screen TVs, or piano music Friday and Saturday evenings, there's something for everyone at Blue. Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza, and be sure to visit their website at blue-restaurant.com. That's Blue Restaurant and Bar owners Marty Brown and Greg Pogue. Yep, Marty Brown.
I knew Greg Pogue was in it, but I didn't remember who the other gentleman was.
You know, they do a good job over there, but I really love it in the late spring and early fall, because you can sit outside and just enjoy all the scenery and the beautiful air, and it's just kind of just a place to go and just basically hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, some of the things that while you were going to school, and I have talked to a number of them from your class, you're kind of like we were. You everything was special, and we're all like family. And I know you were telling me that you get in touch with some of them over the internet, and they're able to connect that way. We've got the same thing, and you're our Marsha Littlefield Porterfield, because Marsha makes sure that everybody is in on certain functions and things that are going on, and if somebody has some positive things in their life, or they've had some illness or what like that, we're all kept up with that, and it's just like our extended family, and it's such a special treat. And I really want to thank you for doing that for your class, because that's important to stay together.
Well,
like that,
we've been very fortunate that we haven't lost, I think, maybe 21 of our class members in 50 years. And but we're not getting any younger, and we're the next generation to go now, and it's just, I think it's just really important that we stay.
Did you lose many in the war? I'm talking about the
Vietnam
War.
No, we lost none.
Wow.
In the Vietnam War.
That's amazing.
We were talking about that at our last planning session.
Because we lost quite a few, and just really super people.
Yes, you did. But we did not lose anybody.
I remember the two that really, of course, they all stand out to me. I remember just about, well, I knew every one of them. But the thing about it is, I used to spend the night at Robert Boyd's house, and also William Burkhart. And, you know, just remembering them, and they were only children. They did not have any siblings, no brothers or sisters. And that was such a tragedy. Well, Charlene, we're going to have to put our ears on because we have a caller on the line. So let me give you yours. And whoever it is, Charlene is can't wait to talk to you.
Hello, Charlene and Truman, John L. Beatty.
Hey, John L., how are you?
John L. Beatty.
Merry Christmas to both of y'all.
Well, thank you. Same to you.
I've really enjoyed the show, and the Christmas was just exactly that you were describing, just exactly as the one we had. And remembrance of the two teachers, Miss Murray and Miss Ruth, they were the first two of the first two that come to mind.
Right.
Yeah.
And what great teachers and all we had, and what a great time we had back over 50 years ago now.
Now, Marguerite was in our class, your sister.
Right.
Now, how did you guys celebrate Christmas?
About the same way, with the big stick of candy and always the oranges, the red apples were the brightest. We didn't know back then that you could polish apples like they come in the store today. They were always in a bushel basket, pretty much. But the main thing Marguerite and I did, we went out and got the Christmas tree.
Oh, fun.
And cut it and drag it, and we'd get it back home, and it was probably 10 or 12 feet tall, and the ceilings wasn't about 7. So we had a lot of trees cut off, and sometimes it was in the mud and the snow, but we would get it back there, and then Daddy would operate on it. We'd finally get it in. Sometimes it looks all like Charlie Brown's tree.
But every time you walked in the door, you had that wonderful smell of that cedar tree.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the cedar and Christmas.
Right. Right. The cedar was there, and then we did cranberries and popcorn. You string them and tinsel icicles.
Yes, yes.
Not the plastic ones, but the tinsel. And then we'd take each one of them, had to go on one at a time.
Had to come off one at a time.
Had to come off one at a time and go right back over that box so you could save it again for next
year. Right. That's right. And angel hair.
And angel hair was there, and it would itch you.
Oh, gosh.
Forgot about that.
But just wonderful memories.
And glass ornaments. All the ornaments were glass.
All ornaments were glass and had great big old bulbs.
Yes. They got hot. Yes. Now you can get those big bulbs, but they're not as hot. But they're still, they remind me of the old Christmas trees.
Yes, yes. But, you know, nobody called in. I called them and asked them if y'all were live or if this pre-recorded, and they said, no, it's live. So I was really glad, and congratulations to you, Truman. You're coming up on a year full long.
Yes, I am.
First of the year, and y'all are doing a good job.
Thank you, John L. Tell Melissa I love reading her on Facebook. She has some of the greatest messages.
Okay.
Will do.
Merry Christmas to y'all.
Merry Christmas to you, John L.
Bye-bye. Okay. Thanks for calling.
You know, that's part of the beauty of living here in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County is, you know, we don't get to see John L. that much, not as much as I'd like to. But it's just something comforting to know that they're still here.
That's right.
And I'll guarantee you, if I ever needed anything, or John L. did, or you, or any of the rest of us, they would be the first ones to show up.
That's right.
When you have your class of 62...
Mm-hmm.
You will have other classes that will come.
I hope so.
And I find that was one of the the neatest things when we had our last one, there's at least five or six classes that are earlier and later than mm-hmm. we were. But they all came and they had just as much fun as we did.
Well, one of the things that I'm really looking forward to, other than seeing so many people, we are going to Tour Central mm-hmm. on Saturday afternoon.
Now, you're going to love that. We did that.
Yeah, we're going to Tour Central, and Jeff's going to lead us, mm-hmm. Jeff Jordan. And I can't wait to see it because my great niece and my great nephew go to Central.
Oh, okay.
And so I want to see what it looks like now because everybody said it's really great.
Oh, it really is. And since they're going there, it's a magnet school.
That's
now.
It. That's it.
And magnet schools remind me a lot of our schools when we were actually yeah. attended those schools.
Yeah. I just.
All right. I'm going to remember your classrooms where they were when you went to Central
yeah.
and see if you can find them.
That's what I want to do. That's
and I'll
what
guarantee
I want to
you,
do.
You'll do better than I did. The only one that I knew for sure. Was, guess which one?
Miss Murray's or Miss Young's?
Well, Miss Young, I can think of kind of close. Miss Murray's was dead end down the hall to the right.
Going to the cafeteria.
Right. But Miss Hopgood's, I know exactly because it was next to the office,
That's
remember?
Exactly right. And wasn't Miss Young's classroom next to
right
hers?
Next to it.
Yeah, and then Miss Reeves was in the corner. And the bookstore mm-hmm. was there in the corner there by Ms. Reeves's room. And mm-hmm. then Ms. Murray's room was next to Ms. Reeves's room. And then you went to the cafeteria. And on Fridays, you had fish, green peas, mashed mm-hmm. potatoes, and lemon icebox pie.
Good memory. My goodness.
And Sue Reeves was right there.
Yeah, she was.
She and Ms. Bandy.
Well, yes. I forgot Ms. Bandy.
Oh, yes, she was. Yes.
How in the world could Mr. Bandy marry such a beautiful woman and have such beautiful kids? Every one of them were absolutely gorgeous. And smart.
Oh, yeah. Every one of them are. I saw Carol back in the summer, I think. Betsy Clark had a little gathering, and she brought in some of her friends and mm-hmm. then some of Kay's friends, the sister that she lost.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all out there, and Carol was there. And I always thought Carol Bandy was absolutely beautiful, and Carol Bandy is still absolutely beautiful. And Janet is gorgeous, and Freya is pretty as she can be, and Susan was just a doll. They were all just so precious. But boy, I tell you what, when he said jump, they jumped. They had that much respect for their dad. And I remember them going to Virginia in the summers and working up there in a restaurant, and Mr. Bandy was I don't know whether he was like a ranger or what up there, but I don't know whether you remember this or not, or whether you ever were in on it. Mr. Bandy used to take groups to the Smoky Mountains and camp out on the weekends.
I never made that.
Well, I went with him one year. Mm-hmm. Freya and I went one year and camped out with him up there. But he was big on the out of doors and camping and those kinds of things. They were a close-knit bunch.
Yeah, I don't remember. We had a number of principals when I was there, and every one of them commanded respect from the student body.
Well, but we respected them because that's the way we were raised.
Right.
That's what we were taught to do, and you just didn't not respect them.
Did anybody ever do anything kind of beyond the norm as far as trying to get attention while you were going to school like some of ours did? I do remember one of the commodes upstairs ended up with a cherry bomb in it. And
it was probably the one up there by Miss Sublett's room upstairs.
I don't know.
I think the guys eventually took the lock out of that door.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they would go smoke. When it was cold and they couldn't get out to go behind the school, they would go to smoke in that restroom.
Yeah, they had a smoke stack
out
there.
Yes, yes. And I had a friend who recently told me that they were all in there smoking one day, and somehow they could block the door so it couldn't get open unless mm-hmm. you knew exactly how to do it. And they were all standing there around in the restroom smoking, and these fingers came in through the door to try to unlock it and knocked on the door. And, all right, boys, I know you're in there. It was Mr. Romine. And one of the boys...
Nice fella.
One of the boys said, who is that? And one of them turned around and said, I don't know, but those fingers are old.
Well, was Mr. Blair there when you were there.
Mr. Blair was the principal when I was there, yeah.
I never will forget, and I don't know why it was done, but somehow some of the students got a little irritated with the faculty at one time. Do you remember those little firecrackers you could throw on the ground and they explode? Well, somebody strode the whole bottom floor of Central High School with those, went up the steps on both sides and all across the top. And when that first bell went off,
so
it
did those
sounded like a war was going on.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
After Mr. Blair, bless his heart, was running through the hallway, clear the halls, clear the halls. Well, I finally got it all cleared off, and then we had a meeting in the auditorium, and we had one guy, Donnie Washer, and I hope Donnie's listening. He may or may not be. I haven't seen him in a long time, but anyway, he could mimic Mr. Blair to a T. So he got up and real serious and was going to address the entire group, and as soon as he got up to say something, you could hear in the back, clear the hall, clear the hall. I mean, exactly like him. It was just total silence. I mean, just total silence. And you know, it was mischievous, but it really wasn't mean. But I don't think you could get away with that today.
No, you couldn't get away with it, but that is so mild compared to some of the other things that go on nowadays in schools. And, you know, that's just part of fun. That's just part of it.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised Donnie didn't end up on television. We'll let you know that the last part of the show is brought to you by Pirtle and Howerton Automotive at 2006 North Main Street in Shepherdville, Tennessee. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, take about a 20-minute drive down towards Shepherdville. And just before you get into downtown, it's on your left. And if you'd like to find out some more before you leave, it's 1-800-264-6800, or you can pull them up on the internet, PirtleHowerton.com.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
HGTV, the leader in home design and know-how, has joined Shaw Floors, the leader in flooring and city tile and floor covering, the largest flooring retailer in our area, to bring you HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw Collection. Doug Young with City Tile.
Come to City Tile and see the new selections of the HGTV products exclusively at City Tile.
Your HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw authorized retailer. Visit citytile.net. City Tile and Floor Covering.
Hello, this is Truman Jones. We have a new sponsor and one that you're going to be delighted with. It's National Healthcare, National Healthcare Corporation right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And this is where life is celebrated. Discover a different kind of care, one that ensures that you're surrounded by people who make a difference in your life. In 11 states, patients and residents feel right at home at National Healthcare Corporation's more than 130 affiliated healthcare centers and home care offices. Their family of facilities delivers exceptional rehabilitative skilled nursing and extended care in locations that are close to home and family. In line with their longtime commitment to provide a continuum of care to those who need their services at any age. And want to let you know that this is a local business started here, even though it's pretty much all through the Southeast. National Healthcare, Murfreesboro, where life is celebrated.
You're listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now back to Truman Jones.
And today's guest, Charlene Norris.
And welcome back with Charlene. This is still continuing. I hate to even leave today because it's so much fun. But poor old Brian, he's just staggering today, Charlene. He's had two shots at one part of his body, and he's full of medicine and everything.
And full of pneumonia.
Yeah, and full of pneumonia. I just can't believe. But I say one thing. You're willing to take one for the company. I appreciate that. I know Bart, and I'm sure that there will be a larger check in the mail right after Christmas.
Yeah, or Christmas bonus.
Yeah, yeah.
Check? What's that?
I don't know.
I thought we did this for free.
I thought I was the only freebie here. All right, we've got a caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Charlene.
Hey, Truman.
Yes.
Ms. Norris, this is Rusty Barrett. It's really good to hear your voice again. I think you were one of the best principals in the school system when you was at Northfield. And Truman, that William Burkhart that you were talking about earlier, we lived on William's and Burkhart's granddaddy's farm out off of Sulphur Springs Road.
Yes.
So my family knew William Burkhart real well.
One of the nicest guys I've ever known.
Yeah, he was. I remember the day that we got the news that he was killed in action.
Rusty, I have William Burkhart's flag that was on his coffin. His
really?
Mother gave it to my aunt for us to use at Northfield, and it was so big and it's so heavy because it's made out of that heavy cotton that we never could find any place to put it where it would stay. And so it's in the top of my closet, and I want to get a case for it and give it to the Rutherford County Archives for them to have on display. But I have his flag.
That would really be nice.
He was a great guy.
Yeah, his mother, Ms. Louise Arnett, she was a fine person, too.
Yes, she was.
And, Truman, a lot of these people that y'all talk about, I know them, and I've heard you talk a lot about Mr. Gilbert Sharon.
Oh, yes.
Principal at Mitchell Nelson.
Yes, sir.
When I was in the fifth grade, he paddled me one time.
You must have been bad that day because he didn't like paddling kids.
Well, I had him as a, he was a seventh grade teacher when I went to.
He was my seventh grade teacher.
Yeah.
When I went there.
But, really makes you feel good to reminisce and all this. And Truman, I really enjoy your show. And Ms. Norris, you had a very special mom and dad.
Thank you. I think so, Rusty. And I remember one of the last Christmases when I was at home. It was snowing, and I worked at Goldstein's. And we came, Mother and Daddy came and picked me up because the store closed at 12 o'clock. And we went down there on the creek there by your house, down below your house, and crossed over that wire fence and got cedar to put in the house when we got back to decorate.
Yeah. Yeah, your mother and dad give us a ride to church for a long time.
Yes, they were special people. Special.
Well, it's good to hear your voice again.
Thank you, Rusty. You too.
Care.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Rusty.
Bye-bye.
You know, the warmness of this community and this time of year is really something special. And what in the world? Somebody said, Daddy told me they found you in the cabbage patch.
I think that's from my sister.
That's what
my
you were talking about.
My dear, sweet sister. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, she won't let you live that down, will
she?
No,
she won't let me live it down, but that's okay. She knows what happens.
You know, this is going to be a special Christmas for everybody. And just remember the good times that you've had. Remember all your friends and family this time of year. And there's nothing more special than reliving those memories and calling back those great times that we all had with our grandparents and our parents and all our aunts and uncles and cousins and friends that we've had all these years. Make that part of the time that you're going to have when you maybe have some quiet time. And you know, that's something special. But, of course, Christmas has its own meaning this time of year. It's the love that you have in the community, and it's the love for Jesus Christ. And make sure that is foremost in your thoughts during this time of year. And Merry Christmas.
Amazon is coming to town. I'm Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. It's official. Tennessee Governor